I want you to think about all the calls that you make to people that you're not doing business with. I don't care if you call them cold calls or if you call them warm calls, whatever the heck you call them, right? Whatever temperature you might want to designate to those calls. I want you to think about them. And I want you to think about how many people actually pick up the phone. And I'm sure now you're going to agree with me when I say the following. One of the most frustrating things that we face as sales professionals is this whole business of people never picking up the damn phone anymore. And I would say second to that is when we call a business and we get stopped by the quote-unquote gatekeeper and they say, well, hold on a minute. And they come back and they say that so-and-so is not available, or they're in a meeting, or they stepped out, or whatever it is. So here we are, and hopefully we're in a situation where we really believe in our solution, and we can't even get people to hear us out. So today I thought it might be a good idea to talk about a little something-something I like to call how to get a potential client to take your call. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I want to make sure that you're taking full advantage of a really cool freebie that I try to let everybody know about. I've been kind of telling everybody about this for a while, and it's my sales app, and it's absolutely free. And there are over, you ready for this? 300 free audio sales lessons. Let me say it again in case you thought maybe it was the New York accent playing tricks on you. It wasn't. It was, what I said was, we have over 300 absolutely free audio sales lessons available for you. Now, you might be thinking, oh, great, yeah, I get the app free and I got to pay you for the lessons. Brilliant move, Castain. Such a sales whore, that Castain. Nope. Absolutely free, meaning the app is free and every one of those lessons are free to you also. So if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/app, yoursalesplaybook.com/app, and you visit from your smartphone, you can download the app. Now, the best part about this damn app is, aside from the fact that you have access to all of these sales lessons, I mean, seriously, you know, we talk about like binge watching shit on like Netflix. Think about like 300 sales lessons and like how that, like how long that's going to keep you out of trouble. And me, man, I gotta stay out of trouble for a long time. Because I have too much time on my hands. That's when Uncle Paul starts getting into too much trouble. So, but the best part of this app is that we update. And I'm saying we, it's just me here. I mean, but it sounds like we. My staff of trained professionals and I, meaning just me, I update this at a rate of 2 to 3 of these audio sales lessons each and every month, so you'll get alerts. You will never miss a beat. But anyway, if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/app, make sure that you take full advantage and download your app. Having said that, today we're going to talk about something that I know is a sensitive topic with many of us, myself included. How do we get someone to pick up the damn phone? How do we get someone to take our call? And it's very frustrating because, heck, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing for a living if we didn't think we had something that was awesome. And here we are believing in the company, believing in the solution, and guess what? Nobody will hear us out. How do we get them to pick up the damn phone? So I have, at just a quick glance here, it's at least 4 or 5 different ideas for you that will help. But I'm going to warn you. I'm going to give you 2 warnings. If you're driving the car, this is one of those episodes that seriously you're going to want to pull over and take notes, because this is not something that, and you shouldn't be listening to my podcast just for like entertainment value, like I'm riding shotgun with you and I'm entertaining you like a freaking circus boy here. You should be like school's in session. Have your journal open and put on the damn humble student's cap and let's learn something together. But don't ever like go into a podcast just for entertainment value. Seriously, man, you got to learn some stuff. But that's the first word of warning that you're going to want to pull over the car. The second one is that you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone a little bit, because this is going to be different than what you're used to doing. Seriously. So the first piece of advice that I have for you is that you have to begin the sequence differently. Right? You're saying, what the hell is he talking about, right? Well, I'm trying to be a little mysterious here. I'm trying to like lure you in with some intrigue here. Begin the sequence differently. What is the sorcery that Castain speaks of? Begin the sequence differently. What is he like levitating while he's saying that? Like he's the all-knowing Uncle Paul? I wish I could levitate, man. That would be pretty damn cool. I bet I would get more for my speaking fees if I could do that. But when I talk about beginning the sequence differently, many people in sales, when they're approaching a company, what they do is they usually approach them how? By email. Nothing wrong with email. I use it. I teach courses on it, man. I better believe in it. It does really well for me. But the problem is that it's a real noisy channel. And a lot of other people are approaching your potential client the same way. So the sequence begins with email for many. And you know what? We could argue that and say, I think it's more like it's phone call. I can tell you as a business owner, the sequence for me on the receiving end is usually an email. And it usually stays in email, by the way. But there's a small percentage of people that try to approach me right out of the blue with a cold call. Nothing wrong with those two things, but we want to kind of interrupt a pattern. And the pattern is this. The pattern that your potential client is used to is someone hitting them with an immediate pitch, immediately, like within the first few words that are spoken or written, and it comes at them through email, or it comes at them on a phone call, through their voicemail, whatever it is. But it's very, very typical. So we want to break that pattern. And we know how that pattern many times ends. It ends with people deleting us and disregarding us and, you know, just like not really taking our phone calls and things like that. So we want to break that pattern. So what I'm going to suggest here is that the way that we begin this sequence, this is one of many ideas that I talk about all the time on the podcast and on my blog, is we want to begin in this case with snail mail. Remember, I just want to be very clear. I'm not saying, hey, give up cold calling. Hey, give up email. I'm saying, hey, let's try something different. Let's try breaking the pattern and approaching people in a manner that they're not used to being approached. And certainly, our competitors aren't really like regarding at all. So we're going to begin the sequence differently by approaching them through snail mail. Now, you might be thinking that what I mean by snail mail is some mass mailing type of campaign. In this context, that's further from the truth here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that contains a handwritten component. So what I would do is some kind of a handwritten note. So whether it be in a card or it be in the form of a letter, I prefer a card, by the way. Approach them that way. So that's the first part. Now, that's not enough to make you say, thank God I listened to this podcast today. This guy is brilliant. Now, you just got to bear with me here. I'm just setting this whole thing up. So now the next thing that you're going to do, right, because we all have to agree on something, that most people will not approach through snail mail. Now, also, watch what else has happened. Most people, if they approach through snail mail, will not approach with a handwritten note. It'll be some kind of pre-printed marketing piece, and they'll send out lots of them, and they'll hope somehow the world will beat a path to their door. Now, that process, by the way, it works. It's called direct mail, basically. But here, we're going to approach differently. We're breaking the patterns, right? So the next thing that you're going to do is something, another thing that nobody ever does. Before you reach out to a potential client, I want you to research them the same way you would if you picked up the phone. Here is the funniest thing about pre-call planning research. Most people, when it comes to picking up a phone, I believe the vast majority of salespeople understand that they should be doing some research. They understand it. I don't know that the vast majority does it, Because again, I'm on the receiving end of it, and I really, like, it's not like I'm not a visible guy, and you couldn't Google Paul Castain and very, very quickly get a feel for who I am, what I do, and all the places where I hang out between my blog and this podcast, my LinkedIn group, my speaking business, all these things that I do. But most people will not research when they're going to send an email to a potential client, like that intro email, or in this context, an intro handwritten note that we're going to send out through snail mail. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to research them. And what I want you to look for, because everybody tells you to research, but nobody tells you exactly what you should be looking for. So what you want to look for, it's something called trigger events. And there's different names for this, right? Some people call it trigger events. Some people call them triggers. Some people call them compelling events. So we're going to make it easy. We're going to just say that we're looking for triggers. A trigger, in this case, is something that's going on in your potential client's world that would dramatically increase the probability of them needing your solution. So let's say that again, because, like, I mean, I'm even exhausted saying the damn thing. Like, I can only imagine how you guys feel after that shit. So what a trigger event is, it's something that's going on in your potential client's world that would dramatically increase the probability of them needing your solution. So let me give you two examples of things kind of outside of the norm, and then I'm going to give you a bunch of triggers that are going to resonate with you in your business. So a trigger could be if, like, imagine I had a mechanic service, and I'm driving along the, you know, the freeway, and I see a car on the side of the road, some smoke coming out of the engine. I see the hood up, and they're standing outside the car with that, you know, like, man, I'm pissed off. My car is, like, screwed here look, right? You know the look, because we've all had it. Roadside, sitting there, that angry look, kind of pacing back and forth on the cell phone. I'm thinking that would be a trigger event. In other words, that there's a good probability that they would need my mechanic services in that moment. But more specifically to you and your business, things that you should be looking for. Companies that are hiring, because they're hiring for a reason. It could be good or it could be bad, right? It could be expansion. It could be turnover. Other things you should be looking for is, how about a new contact at the company that you're trying to get into? Many times, new people in a role, even people who have been promoted, by the way, they have that piss and vinegar, right? They want to change things and shake things up. Many of them also are given more power than the former person, because they realize that, well, something didn't work there. Maybe we should give this person more budget and more leeway or whatever, right? So they've got this other opportunity to get it right. Product launches, online reviews, especially nowadays, a lot of us check online reviews. So things like Yelp, TripAdvisor, if it would apply. Glassdoor is a huge one, because many times, I mean, people underestimate just how much turnover costs an organization. I know that when an organization loses a sales rep, it costs them between 150 and 300% of their salary. And yeah, it really adds up, right? So if you've got a bunch of people talking trash about the company, this company sucks and all this and that, it can really get in the way of them doing business. Certainly online reviews with, like, the Better Business Bureau. Deals that have been won, right? I mean, you've seen that in your local papers, where people, it's almost like bragging rights. They're talking about deals that they've won, because many times there's going to be some growth that might be associated with that deal that's been won. They might need something that you offer that can help with that deal, or help with maybe some of the quote-unquote growing pains that company's going to go through. Earnings, good or bad. Many times we're looking for companies, like, we were taught, go where the money is. And that's a brilliant strategy. But I would maintain that in addition to going where the money is, you should go where the money isn't, and the companies that are hurting. And that sounds like crazy advice to give, but hear me out. If you look at two scenarios, ones where you're nice and comfy or ones where you're hurting, which one would you be more likely to make a change? One where you're comfy and you don't need to change, or one where you're hurting, you're bleeding, and somebody has a tourniquet? So that's something that you might want to think about. Sounds like I'm getting like emotional about it. Like I promised myself I wasn't going to cry here, but you know, it's kind of coughing here, fighting a cough. But anyway, you also want to think about expansion and companies that might be relocating. Companies that are, you know, involved in like mergers and acquisitions. Companies, here's a huge one that a lot of people miss. Companies that receive venture capital funding. I mean, what a great time to approach them, right? They have a handful of money. And if you could show them how to get a return on that investment and or use that money to reduce some of their overall costs, well, they're going to be all ears because they're under a lot of pressure from the companies loaning them that money to get a return on that quickly. Also, too, and there's a lot of these. There's really over 30 different triggers. And I'll give you one more, and this is a huge one. Things that are going on with your potential client's competitor, especially when you're dealing with people who are at the C-level. I maintain that these people are very, very competitive types, especially to get to that level in the organization. So you'll find that people at that level, they have this need to keep up with the Joneses. They have this kind of FOMO thing going on, right? That fear of missing out thing going on. So if you can come in with some competitive intelligence and use some very gentle peer pressure of, you know, how they really need to keep up with some of the other things going on in the industry, you might have someone there, or you might have found a trigger. So we're going to start with the research and we're going to look for a trigger. Now, step number two is that we're going to, and I alluded to this before, so this is not going to be a shock to you. I kind of gave you like a spoiler before, but we're now going to approach them through snail mail, specifically a handwritten note. So we're not going through the phone at this point. We're not going through email. We're starting the sequence differently. Now we move on to the next thing. This one is huge. If you're taking notes, now is the time to circle this particular one because this can make or break what happens next. What you want to do when you start that handwritten note is you want to lead with something about them and not you. Let me say it again. Lead with something about them and not you. Most emails, and even if, you know, if somebody were to be inclined to send you a piece of snail mail, it's always about the company. It's like, you know, hi, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and we're a full-service training organization, or we offer comprehensive end-to-end, all this like marketing speak stuff going on. But even when you peel away the marketing speak and you realize that like no one speaks that way in human conversation, you have to realize that you're starting with their least favorite subject on the planet, and that's you. What you should lead with is something that you found in that research because it has to do with their favorite topic in the world and it's them. But the reason why you really want to go for that trigger event if you can is because chances are they've been talking about that a lot. Think about your company and think about companies you've worked for. Did you experience like almost like overkill on the communication about a particular initiative? Or I remember I worked for a company years ago and we were buying another company out. So that's all we were ever talking about. Everything that we had to do on the management team had to be like something that was going to underscore the upcoming, acquisition of this other company. It was very important that we kept our headcounts up. It was being like almost force-fed to us 24/7. You guys know what I'm talking about. And that's what happens with trigger events. So if you come in with your messaging and you touch on something that they care about and something that is like on the agenda continually, I think you're going to stand a better chance. So the way that you're going to lead with them and not you is by using a simple phrase. And this phrase works so well across like just about like every platform that you can think of. So what I'm about to teach you, you can use it in snail mail. You can use it in an email. You could use it on LinkedIn. You could use it in voicemail. You can use it as your part of your opening statement. In fact, it really should be the first sentence in your opening statement when you call. But no matter what, I want you to lead with the statement if it's appropriate for you. And you ready for this? It's like complete genius. It's like just so simple. And I'm being a wise ass because it's just simple. There's nothing sophisticated about it. Here it is. You're going to start off by saying, "I noticed that." Seriously, that's it. You're going to start off by saying, "I noticed that," and you're going to fill in the blank. So you might say that, "I noticed that you're expanding into the Northeast," right? Like, think about that. Like, how do you think that compares side by side with me starting off with, "Hi, my name is Paul Castain, and I'm with Castain Training System." It's like, wow, like, way to bore the shit out of me, right? They don't care about me at that point. They care about what's on their plate and what's been front and center. So let's just say that in your research, you found a trigger event, and it's they're launching a new product. So you might say that, "I noticed that you have an upcoming launch of your X1000 series," whatever it is. But you're going to use the phrase, "I noticed that," and you're going to fill in the blank with something from your pre-call planning research. This is when, like, you use what you've discovered to get their attention. So now, if we get their attention in the very first sentence, by the way, chances are that we've won a good part of the battle. Would you guys agree with that? Do you think most communication is lost from hello? Because I do. I mean, I know how I read an email. And I know how I assess very quickly if a call is worth continuing with somebody. I need to know what's in it for me, and I need to know quickly. And attention spans are such right now that it really does have to be quickly, because we're in kind of a scanning type of world today where we want to assess very, very quickly, and we're going to make that decision and we're going to move on. So here's what's happened so far. I want you to realize this. We're approaching and we're starting the sequence differently because people typically start the sequence through email and or, you know, a phone call. We're going to start differently. We're going to start through snail mail. Now, we're also coming across a little differently because this is in handwritten form, and nobody does that anymore. And when they do, it's usually like in the form of a thank you, if that. Even still, everybody knows they should be sending thank yous, but they don't. So this is going to be very different because nobody gets an intro type of letter, if you will, that's handwritten. So right out of the gate, you're starting off differently. You're getting their attention. Now, they open it up and you're getting their attention by talking about their favorite subject. And their favorite subject isn't you, it's them. You are further getting their attention by talking about a trigger event, something that's been front and center in their discussion. So now you're basically not sounding like somebody who sent out 30,000 like direct mail pieces and just kind of sprayed and prayed. You're coming across as someone who did their homework and who is familiar with their landscape and has an idea. So now that brings us to the next part. The next part after you start by leading with them and not you, and you start by saying, "I noticed that," and you tell them what you noticed. Then you tie it in with how you might, keyword there, might be able to help. Or you could even talk about how you've been able to help other companies. But again, this is handwritten form. We don't want to make it too lengthy. I kind of look at it like we need to have like a potato chip mentality. Potato chip mentality is that we're making them hungry. We're not looking to feed them. We're making them hungry to ultimately take the call. Because the point of the snail mail is not to kid ourselves into thinking that they're going to have that card in hand and a blank check in the other hand, and then I guess they dial the phone with their toes because they're going to be out of hands at that point. That would be, actually, I'd be pretty impressed by that, other than the fact that feet do freak me the hell out. I have a need to say that. But, you know, I'm sorry. I just have to say this right now. Really, this is a public service announcement from your Uncle Paul. For those of you who are on Facebook, we are coming into the season when it's warm weather. And people have this disgusting need to show us how relaxed they are by taking a picture of their ugly ass freaking hobbit feet kicked back in a chair. I don't want to look at your ugly effing feet. I just don't. It's disgusting. You know? So anyway, now that you know how I really feel, and there's a lot of benefits to this podcast. Not only do we talk about sales tips, I think right there that I've helped you in just some humble way. So I'm just going to say you're welcome for that. Believe me, your friends on Facebook are going to thank you for that. They don't want to look at your ugly, shitty feet. So anyway, and if you are going to do it, guys, especially if you got like some manto going on, you got to get a pedicure. It's just, I'm sorry, you got to do it. So having said that now, now once you've kind of led with something about them, you want to obviously tie it in to something about you and how you might be able to help that particular type of trigger. But again, we're not looking to write War and Peace here. We're not looking to feed them. We're looking to give them a potato chip and make them hungry. So all you're really doing here, if you want to break that down, is instead of starting about you, you're going to flip-flop it. You're going to start with them and the trigger. I noticed that. And then talk about you, but lose all that marketing speak nonsense. Talk, I mean, just very, very briefly, like we call it the kitchen table test. Like, if you wouldn't say it at the kitchen table, having a cup of coffee or a beer, don't say it. Like, you know, when I'm sitting at the kitchen table, I don't talk like full service and end-to-end and comprehensive. And, you know, it's like being in business for yourself and not by yourself. I mean, like, come on, man. It's like, I think if I did, I think somebody would like slap me in the head and say, the power of Christ compels you, Castaigne. You know, out, demon. I command you out. But anyway, so what you want to do now, this is the part that's going to lead to more people picking up the phone. This is all a setup. It is a chess game to get to the point where people are going to pick up the phone more. We've captured their attention by doing it differently. It's not going to work 100% of the time. If it did, trust me, I wouldn't be on this damn podcast right now. I'd be the guy on an island with no tolerance for people and very wealthy and with an even bigger ego, I might add. There. And as payback, I'd probably take a few pictures of my ugly ass feet and not give a shit because I'd be pretty wealthy and it would be payback. And I would let my feet get real fugly too, like hobbit type of feet. And then I would post it just because, right? I'm rich at this point. I don't care. But anyway, so now what we want to do is do the move. Now that we've caught their attention, that is going to result in more people picking up their phone. I call it the reverse call to action. A typical call to action would be when you say something like, you know, call the number that I've, you know, included, you know, in this piece of mail. Or back in the day when people used QR codes all the time, you know, scan this code. In an email, you would say, click here, right? On a voicemail, you'd say, call me back, right? Like, I mean, like we haven't beaten the hell out of that one. So in this case, you're going to do the reverse of that, which is not have them do anything. Remember, what we're doing here is we're trying to interrupt patterns. Right out of the gate, we were talking about pattern interrupts, interrupting and breaking patterns, showing them, wow, this is going to be different, throwing them off balance. Now, instead of asking them to do something, you're going to say something like this. I'm going to be calling you, and you tell them the day and time, the exact day and time, not a range, but the exact day and time. I'm going to be giving you a call Thursday morning at 10:15 a.m. I'm hoping you'll take my call because, and now you give them a compelling reason, like answer that what's in it for me thing. Like maybe, I don't know, you might say, because I have some ideas that could really help with that expansion. I'm hoping you'll take my call because I've been involved in several product launches and we've been able to do this within this amount of time. I'm hoping I could share a few ideas with you. You see, that's a lot different than coming right out of the gate, showing up the way everybody else does on email and a cold call, showing them that you've done absolutely no research, leading with stuff about you that they really don't care about at that point, and, you know, like asking them to do something when you haven't earned that right. Instead, you're going to tell them what you're going to do. So here's how it results in more people picking up the phone. Like I said before, this isn't 100% here, but this increases it. And I've been testing this now. Geez, I've been doing this particular approach for probably, I would say, about 6 to 8 years now that I've been doing this. And I've been trying to perfect it with all different forms of outreach. I've done it with email. I've done it with creative things and FedExing things to people. I've done it through LinkedIn. But snail mail has really worked out very, very well for me and my clients because we found that's very, very different. So here's what happens. You tell them the day and time. And hopefully, the big key here is that we intrigue them enough to want to take the call. So now, we're using that snail mail not to sell them something, but to sell them on the idea of picking up the damn phone because we have something valuable to give to them. Notice I said valuable, like as in like I'm not calling to give you a pitch. I'm actually calling because I have ideas that speak to the expansion that you're going through or that could really help with this acquisition or could really help with this expansion of your sales force or your IT department or whatever it is. So we're really changing it up a bit. So here's what happens. We tell them the day and time. And what we found is this. And when I say we, again, I'm not making the same mistake I did before. When I say we in this context, I mean me and my clients, my coaching clients that I've been teaching this to now for years. What we found is more people who weren't picking up their phone prior to the reverse call to action are now picking up the phone at 9:45 or 10:45 or 10:15 a.m., whatever time we told them to. I can't remember what time I did in the example. See that? See what happens? All those years of too many tequilas at the sales conventions catching up with me. But anyway, who cares? I don't. I can tell you that. But anyway, so now we found that more people are picking up the phone, but still many people are not picking up their phone. But then an interesting thing happens after that. We found that more people were calling us back and almost apologetically, like they had committed to an appointment at 10:15 or 10:45, whatever. They're calling back almost apologetically. And what I've heard is, hey, I'm so sorry I missed your call. You know, I had something going on at that point, but I'm anxious to hear your thoughts. See, that's a very different type of vibe, having a phone call like that versus calling somebody completely cold. So, you know, you might be inclined to dismiss what I just taught you, and I get it, for a lot of reasons. It's different than what you're used to. You're used to either, you know, calling and immediately emailing or leading with the email and then, you know, okay, I'm going to and give them a call on a certain day. So this is going to be very, very different for you. But you might be inclined to think that it really isn't going to work, that people aren't going to take your call anyway or whatever it is. But my theory is, what do you have to lose? I mean, what I just talked about is not going to cost you anything. It's just going to take a little more effort. Now, I maintain that you're spending this time anyway because you're taking this time and being pissed off and like over like thinking why the whole world never picks up their damn phone, probably pissing and moaning to your coworkers. That time could be used for something different. And also too, I mean, just making call after call after call and not getting anywhere, that's time consuming and it's unproductive. So you'll find in sales that many of the things that take a little bit longer give you better results. So it's kind of like less is more, right? It's kind of less but more targeted. So my advice to you would be to try this. Try something different. And don't try it once and say, oh, yeah, it didn't work for shit. Seriously, you've got to try it for like, you got to commit and try it this way for like the next month or two so that you can get in the habit of doing this. Make a note. Consider it like you're in the laboratory and have your journal and write down exactly the steps that you're doing. And sometimes it's like changing the order of things. Like, you know, it might be a different form of outreach. And then the second one, you're going to do that reverse call to action thing or whatever it is. But try different things. Be willing to change up your sequence and how they begin, and even the elements within the sequence. They're, as you know, a whole world beyond the phone and email. And we really have to be willing as a sales profession. I mean, this isn't 1970 anymore, right? Where we just have like the one or maybe door knocking. I mean, we have to move beyond it. And we've got to stop getting like so like butthurt when people start suggesting that there's other things besides a cold call. This isn't an insult to you. Nobody came over to you and said, you know, your girlfriend's ugly or your mama or some shit. They're just saying, hey, you know, like there might be something else beyond cold calling. And that's what you have to move beyond. Seriously, you do. Because in order to court your prospects, you can't keep showing up like for the same shitty date and having the same shitty conversation. You got to change it up and you got to keep it interesting. So my suggestion to you is this. If this appealed to you and you want to learn more, and I'm hoping that you want to learn more, because I did leave out a few things, because I'm sorry if you think less of me. I'm not going to give away the whole thing to you. I've just given you part of what you need to be doing. Now, if you stop right there and you just do what I taught you today, I'm telling you, you're going to increase your results. You are not going to hate me for the advice that I've given you today. You're going to get more people answering their phone. You're going to begin the process of separating yourself from your competitors. You're going to be showing up differently for a change. And that's refreshing in sales. But if you'd like to learn the rest of it, I highly recommend that you join us on April 20th for our webinar. It's going to be at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And it's called 25 Ways to Stand Out with Snail Mail. Let me say it again. 25 Ways to Stand Out with Snail Mail. Now, be honest with me. I can't hear you. So you can, like, I don't know that I would talk to the computer. Or, screw it. If you're in the car by yourself, talk to yourself. I sing to myself in the damn car. I don't care. Right? Who cares? We're salespeople. This is what we do. And, but I want you to answer this question. I mean, is this a little bit different than what you've been doing? And also, is this a little bit different than how you've looked at snail mail? Because, see, most people, like when I ask the question, hey, using snail mail as part of your overall prospecting mix, most people say, well, not really. But, you know, like the ones who say, yes, I do, they say that they use it for thank you cards. There's a whole world out there that's available to you beyond a thank you card. I think I've given you a part of it. So if you'd like to learn more and you'd like to see what I've planned for you for this webinar, I highly recommend that you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/snailmail. Now, I want to tell you a little secret, and I'm going to give you that link again in a minute. Today is Sunday, April 9th. I have a link, or I have that page that's up there right now, has special pricing on it. Normally, the webinars go for $99. It's a 90-minute webinar. We always have a free ebook. I make myself available for any questions. And if you want to bounce, like, you know, different ways that you're utilizing the course material and stuff off of me, I'm always available. I don't go ducking out after the webinar. So there's a lot of value that I try to give in those webinars. So normally, it's $99. Right now, and I'm sorry if this sounds like a bad infomercial, but right now, actually, it is $74. You'll save $25, but the catch is this. You need to seriously get off your ass right now. And I'm sorry to talk to you that way, but you know that's what you need to hear, because most of us in sales, we procrastinate. If you procrastinate, you're going to be shit out of luck, because come the 10th, which is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern time, I'm moving it right back up to $99. So if you want to save a few bucks and you want to learn a whole mess, like as in like 25 ideas on how you can stand out with snail mail. And by the way, if you want those tips to be actionable, because you know how I roll, think about this podcast. I don't spend time with you guys getting all philosophical and talking about theory. I give you actual things that you can do, like shut the podcast off, roll up your sleeves, and try it out, right? Like today, I gave you a bunch of actual tips. That's what we do in the webinars. So if you'd like to learn more, you'd like to save $25, I strongly advise that you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/snailmail. yoursalesplaybook.com/snailmail. I'm Paul Castine from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week. week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.